I think often about why so many people stay away from the church, the practice of the faith, when our Creator, God Himself, has ingrained in our souls a desire to worship Him and to be in communion with Him. You know, if God has written that into the depths of our souls, you know, why is it that so many people stay away from church? And I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. But today's gospel gives us some insight, I think, into one of the major reasons why people stay away. And that is, a lot of people internally feel unworthy to come before God. You know, maybe it's because of past sins that they've committed or sins that they're committing now that they might feel ashamed of. You know, they don't want to face God. You know, they feel in their conscience that there's something wrong and they don't want that discomfort, so they maybe stay away from church. Or it might not be the sin itself, but one of the effects of sin. You know, when we commit sin, one of the things that it does is it harms our own sense of self-worth. You know, deep down, and it might be something that's subconscious, something that we're not consciously aware of, but we feel worse about ourselves. We might feel internally that we're just bad people. You know, we've done bad things. We're bad people. We're not worthy to become what we truly are, which is children of God. And so sin can create this, this inner disorder within us where we just don't feel worthy to come to church. And very often, instead of turning towards Jesus and coming to Him for healing, people turn away. And they leave His presence. You know, when we look at the gospel today, you know, it's focused on the disease of leprosy. And a lot of the church fathers, you know, the early theologians in the church, would reflect upon leprosy as an analogy for sin. You know, if we look at what leprosy does on a physical level, it disfigures the body, and it's a contagious disease. And so people who were lepers were forced to be separated. They were quarantined, and they were separated from their family members and friends. They were isolated. And they also were no longer permitted into the temple to worship God. And what sin does to our soul is far worse than what leprosy does to the body. Because leprosy can impact the body, but internally, someone could still be a very virtuous, good person. You know, it could be a person who truly loves God, even though they're suffering from this disease. But what sin does is it disfigures our souls, and it can fester and spread within us and cause greater and greater damage. You know, if we think about a sin like selfishness, you know, might start in small ways where, you know, we're focused on ourselves. We're not concerned about others. And we might start to harm other people through our actions. We do things that we think are good for ourselves that harm others. And over time, if that's not checked, then we can begin to become desensitized to the damage that we're doing to others. We might not realize it, or we might not care how much we're harming others as long as we're getting what we want. And so, you know, that's just one example, but every sin is like that. If that sin is allowed to fester, it's going to cause greater and greater damage to ourselves and to others. And so what we see is that it disfigures ourselves, and it can isolate ourselves from God and from others. In the gospel, this leper comes before Jesus Christ. He overcomes his own fear, his own shame, and because he has such faith in Christ, he believes that Christ can heal him. So he comes before him, and what he says to Jesus, he says, "If you wish, you can make me clean." And Jesus doesn't just heal him with a command. There's other places in the gospel where he does that. He'll just command someone to be healed, and they're healed. But he doesn't do that in this situation. In this situation, he extends his hands and he touches the leper. He touches not only him, but also his leprosy. And he makes him clean. You know, this is an analogy of what our Lord wants to do for us, especially in the sacrament of confession. When we come before our Lord, he wants us to bring our sin and evil before him. He doesn't want us to hide it. He wants us to reveal that to him. And that's what we do when we make our confession. And what he does through the words of absolution is he reaches out and he touches us, our wounds and everything, what's good in us and what's evil and festering. And he heals us through the words of absolution. And he cleanses our souls and restores the beauty to our souls and the youthfulness that he desires for us. And one of the effects of confession, you know, just like sin can internally, distort our own sense of self-worth, when we go to confession, that's healed because we see the holiness that we're created for, that we can become holy, that God has created us to live a life of goodness. And so internally, that can help us to see who we truly are. You know, one of the things I'd encourage us to do is to use the sacrament of confession not only for our own spiritual benefit, but as a tool for evangelization. And that might sound like an odd thing to do. You know, if someone is a non-practicing Catholic or they've fallen away from the church, you know, it might be the last thing that we think of to say, hey, would you like to go to confession? Because often we're reluctant to go to confession and it can be hard for us. You know, it might be easier to say, hey, do you want to come to church? Or, you know, we have this event at church. Do you want to come to that? Yeah. But we might not even think to invite someone to go to confession. But, you know, Archbishop Fulton Sheen was one of the greatest evangelists in the 1900s in our country. And one of the things that he would often do is invite people to come back to confession. And there was one woman that was very reluctant. And he said, why don't you come over to church? And she said, I'm not going to confession. He's like, well, I won't ask you to go to confession. So he invited her over to church. He gave her a tour. And as they were walking by the confessional, he shoved her in. She went to confession. And later on, she eventually consecrated herself and became a religious sister. And that was a big part of it. But one of the reasons why that can be effective is because very often it's not an intellectual issue that's keeping someone away from the church. It's very rare to find someone who's away from the church because they have some intellectual issue. More often than not, it's a moral issue. And confession helps to remedy that. It's a more direct way of addressing what's keeping people away from the church. So I encourage you, you know, don't be afraid to invite someone to confession, to say, hey, I'm going to confession today. Do you want to come with me? Or how long has it been since you've been to confession? And be prepared to listen to their answer. They might take it in a good way. They might take it in a bad way. Who knows? But there might be an opening as well as you listen to them and see how they respond to that, to testify and give your own witness to the power of the sacrament. To say, you know, the most peaceful times in my life are the moments in which I come out of confession and I know that my sins have been forgiven and I'm restored to my Heavenly Father. And the sense of goodness and the realization that I have of what I'm created to be as a child of God is the most clear at those moments. That can be a powerful way to testify and to bring people to the church. And it's a good way to evangelize within our own families, you know, to bring our children to confession. You know, what better gift could parents give to their children than confession? Because it helps to form their conscience, to know right and wrong if they're coming to confession every month or on a regular basis. And it builds in them a desire and a zeal for holiness, to recognize that we do need to struggle for holiness. And we are affected by sin, but through the grace of God, that can be overcome. And so confession can help build that desire for greater holiness. And so that's an incredible gift that parents can give to their children. And imagine how much happier our families would be and how much stronger they would be if everyone were going to confession monthly. Because a lot of the struggles and the issues we face within our families would be overcome or significantly lessened if we were going to confession. You know, Lent begins this Wednesday in a few days. It's a perfect opportunity to renew the practice of going to confession and to experience a healing that's deeper and more profound than what the leper experienced in today's gospel. Because he was healed of a physical illness. But in the sacrament of confession, our souls are healed and restored. And so what greater gift can we share with those that we love, our family members, our friends, than the gift of Christ's mercy?